Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Information in a Nutshell radio show for aspiring writers and authors of all ages. Information in a Nutshell will inform, motivate, and challenge you to think outside the box. Learn the tricks of the trade from a variety of top experts in the field of writing and publishing. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, a motivational speaker, and a consultant for authors at every stage of their writing journey. She loves to share her insights, so grab a pencil and a pad of paper and settle down for information you can really use. And don't forget to share what you've learned with a writing friend. Better yet, bring your friend along for the next edition of Information in a Nutshell. And now, here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Welcome to all of you who are joining me today. I am delighted to be bringing you my next guest, who is Terry Whalen. And Terry is one that I have been following for many years and have actually interviewed before on our show. Welcome, Terry.
Hey, Felice, great to be here with you today.
Well, as I was sharing behind the scenes, I don't know if it's a plug for you or not and what you do, but I only have two people whose email list I belong to that actually come into my personal box, and you are one of them because you have so many great things to say. So I want to thank you for that and highly recommend people subscribe to your e-zine. So, Terry, tell people how they can, first of all, find you online.
Oh boy, I have a lot of websites out there, Felice, but the main one would be just my personal one. TerryWhalen.com would be a great place for them to learn about me. When you go there, there's a pop-up on there where they could get a free ebook from me, Platform Building Ideas for Every Author. That's a good way for people to get started. And then I do have a regular e-zine, Write Writing News, that I send out every month. I've been doing that since I think 2003 or 2004, and so if they subscribe to that, then they get all my back issues where I have over 400 pages of how-to writing information just right there on that one e-zine. So I am very honored that you take my e-zine, and I appreciate that very much.
Oh, enjoy it very much. Well, Terry, you have been in the book business for a long time. Just tell our listeners who may not be familiar with you a little bit about yourself and your past history.
Well, I majored in journalism in college, and that's what I thought I was going to do. I lived and breathed a hardcore newspaper guy, and then I went into linguistics for 10 years into language work, and I ended up spending 17 years with a group called Wycliffe Bible Translators. I went back to my writing about 20, 25 years ago, started writing for magazines, and did my first book, came out in 1992, a little children's book that I did called When I Grow Up, I Can Go Anywhere for Jesus. And since that first children's book in 92, I've written more than 60 books for traditional publishers, Donovan, Bethany House, Brodmann, Holman, Moody, you name it. Over the years, I've written for many houses, Tyndale, and then I've also written for more than 50 magazines. My eye-opening experience that I had was about 8 years ago. I started working as an acquisitions editor at a publishing house. I spent a couple years at David C. Cook as their acquisitions editor, and then I also acquired fiction for 3 years with Howard Publishing, which became Howard Books. They're owned by Simon & Schuster now. I also was a literary agent for a couple of years. I did that. And then for the last 3 years here, I've been a publisher with an independent publisher called Intermedia Publishing Group, which is here at Phoenix. And so I'm working with authors to get their books into the marketplace, and we're doing some exciting work over there as well.
Wonderful. And I think that's what I love about you, Terry, is you're still so active in the business, so to speak, and really do it with a love and a passion, because I think for many people, writing is a hobby. And, you know, for those of us that do it as a business, you know, we find that we wouldn't do it any other way. And that's what's exciting about you, is that you have really stayed current with the industry, which I'm sure you've seen a 180-degree, if not 360-degree turn.
Oh, the publishing business is always changing, and some people bemoan that change. They go, oh, this editor that I worked with is suddenly gone. How terrible that is. I tend to look at it a different way. I say that when new people come in, it's an opportunity for writers because those new editors, I used to be a new editor and I know this, are all looking for new people and new relationships to work with. And I'm one of the top literary agencies, Felice, in New York, and I've met with those literary agents and editors, and every one of them are actively looking for the next best thing, whatever that is. And you just have to position your material in the right kind of way. So there's a lot of hope for writers out there. I wrote a book about 7 years ago called Book Proposals That Sell as a frustrated acquisitions editor just because I wasn't getting the right kind of pitches from authors where I could actually secure a book contract for them. And a number of writers have used my book. I've got 100 five-star reviews for this book on Amazon. A number of people have used this book to get book deals. But you talk about staying current. One of the things I did, decided that I wanted to bring this book kind of up to date. And one of the ways I did that, include fiction and nonfiction both, is through a course that I launched called writeabookproposal.com. And the exciting thing to me about the course, it's different than my Book Proposals That Sell book, which is really a series of 21 tips. The course is really more of a step-by-step process about how people can, you know, do step one, then do step two, and do step three, and really position their material in the best possible way so that somebody could say, yes, here's a book contract.
Wow. And, you know, I've shared with you, we've spoken on the phone before, that I work with one author right now as a ghostwriter, and we've been working on a book proposal that's been about 6 months in the workings. And, you know, part of the problem with ghostwriting is narrowing down and getting your author to sit long enough, because usually people who want a ghostwriter are very busy, and mine's a busy businessman. But, you know, it is a project. It is not something that you can sit and do in an afternoon and just whip out. And truthfully, I've seen some book proposals cross my desk for my company, Media Angels, and shake my head and think the same thing. You know, have these people even looked at, you know, first of all, never even sending something unsolicited, let alone, you know, thinking about just some of the basics that they need in a proposal. So, you know, tell us a little bit about what they can expect, not only from your course, but what are, you know, if you had to name something that would be very important to have in a book proposal, what would some of those things be?
Well, what I tell people all the time when it comes to book proposals, Felice, is you only have one chance to make a good first impression on an editor or an agent. And they make that evaluation of your material in seconds. I mean, some of my agent friends will get several hundred pitches from authors a day. These top agents, that's the kind of thing they get. They get a lot of people want their attention. And so you just have seconds to do that. And a while back, I was talking to one of my acquisitions editor friends, and I said, well, how do you know if you have a good project that comes in? He said, well, Terry, I read the first page, and if it's a good sentence, or if it's a good sentence, I read the second sentence. And if it's a good paragraph, I read the next paragraph. And so you can't bury whatever it is that you're really excited about over on page 3 or page 4, because that person may never get there. And you can't just throw down something that's like a working title just because the publisher is going to change that. You have to put your best foot forward when you put out your material. And people are just like oblivious to that one basic fact. And so they have to you talk about the things that are important. It's important to have a good title. It's important to have a good concept and be able to explain it in a concise kind of way as to why it's even important. Whether it's fiction or nonfiction, they all need to do that kind of thing. And people just assume they can throw out their idea and somebody's going to read, you know, 20 pages of it and give them some feedback. Well, you're not going to get any feedback. Most of us are using form rejection letters, so you have no idea why your thing comes back, thanks, but no thanks, you know.
Right. And you know, we are used to researching everything we do. I know you and I have talked about that as well, and just making sure that we have an idea. And the market is changing so much. I just read recently on one of the blogs that I follow that there are overnight wonders, you know, with people who are now, you know, making millions of dollars with a 99-cent, you know, ebook on Amazon, which you wouldn't even have heard of in the past. And there are, you know, so many things out there, you know, similar to that, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, again, it's a normal run-of-the-mill kind of thing that happens. However, there is a new playing field with the whole ebook revolution. And so that also comes into play when writing a proposal and thinking about how you are going to position yourself with the market.
The great equalizer that we have out there, Felice, is the internet and the ability for us to work at building our own visibility. And authors, I'm always encouraging them to do that. Start today where they've been published many times or a few times. They need to be actively building their following on Facebook and in their blog posts and just their presence in the marketplace. That's why if you go by my blog on thewritinglife.ws, you'll find I have over 1,000 searchable entries there. Well, that's a huge volume of stuff, but I didn't just start out to do that. I just wrote a couple of blogs, and then I wrote a couple more, and then I wrote a couple more. So, you know, you don't have to be intimidated by that. You just have to get started on that path and start building the presence that you have in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's true. I was working with somebody on marketing some of my materials, and one of the questions they asked was, do you have at least 100 blog posts? And I said, absolutely. And I was told that that's very rare. You know, it's difficult to write a blog when you could be spending your time writing something that's going to sell, you know, and that's how I looked at it to begin with. But it's really important, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And, I mean, I'm a part of the American Society of Journalists and Authors, and a number of my colleagues in that group, the leading nonfiction writers group mentioned, were critical of me for, you know, blogging because nobody pays you for that. Well,
right.
They do and they don't. They do if you monetize those blog posts, and there are ways to do that so that it's not just free writing that you're doing, but you have to be smart about the way you set up your business and the way you think through those different issues as you do those things.
Mm-hmm. And that's all great advice. And, you know, what have you found is maybe one of the major mistakes that happens when people are writing proposals?
I think one of the major mistakes that people make is they assume that their book is for everyone. And they assume that whether it's a children's book or whether it's an adult book or whatever, that everybody needs this book. Well, we know that everybody isn't going to buy that book. Books are written for a particular audience or a particular niche, and so you need to be thinking through that and realize who is your target reader and who is your target audience, because the more defined you have that, the better you'll be able to explain it in your proposal, and also the better you'll be able to attract the right kind of publisher and the right kind of agent to champion that idea to be able to get it to the next level where it needs to go. And then when it comes to the competition section, everybody thinks, well, my idea is totally, has no competition. Well, that's not true. Every book is going to compete in the marketplace. What is your book? What is your vision for your book? Where do you visualize that book in the bookstore? What's next to it? That's your competition. And so you really need to think through those things, because if you haven't positioned your book right when you send it in, your proposal, like I was saying, you only have one chance to make a good first impression. Somebody's going to look that proposal over in a matter of seconds, and if you're experienced like I am, I've read thousands of these proposals, they're going to see that you think there's no competition and you're a amateur at what you're doing, and you don't want to come across as that way. You want to come across as somebody that's really somebody that they want to invest, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 into your project to be able to get that book out into the marketplace and get it out there in the best possible way. And I throw those kind of numbers out, and people go, well, I'm not getting that money. Well, you're not. Maybe you're getting a $5,000 advance, but the publisher is spending a lot of money because they've got to hire the editor, they've got to design the cover, they've got to do the interior, they've got to hire the salespeople, get your book out into the bookstores and into the marketplace. And it is, at the end of the day, it's going to cost, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for that process. And so you have to do something in your pitch that's going to show that you're worth that kind of investment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, you know, how are you different? How are you better? And that's the story of how I even began my book on writing and publishing, because I said, we don't need another book out there. There's so many of them. And was asked to speak on the topic at a conference, and started looking when I was preparing my talk for books to recommend to the audience. And when I started looking at them and finding chapter two with acquisition woes or, you know, things that would have just set me off, I thought, you know, we need something short and quick. And after lamenting for about 6 months, I actually wrote the book. But, you know, that's one of the ways I tell people, you know, that you can come up with a great book concept or idea, and that is, Is there a necessity out there? Are there other books I'm writing and publishing? Absolutely. Are there books that are great? You know, absolutely. Are there a lot of books that maybe have more information than mine does? Absolutely. You know, can you read my book in about 4 hours? Yes. Is it like talking to me and sitting me down for 4 hours and picking my brain? Yes. And that's how it's different. So if you have something that you're bringing to the table and you're explaining to a publisher, that's what's going to capture their attention, you know, as well as already having a platform. You know, one of my favorite mistakes, if I had to pick one, is having an author say to me, especially if they're pitching me an idea, and I have this happen at conferences, you know, well, I will travel and speak if you want me to. What would you say to something like that, Terry?
I would say, if you want me to, of course we want you to. We're going to want to partner with you to sell books. And so that's what you have to really show in your proposal. What practical ways are you going to partner with the publisher to get the book out there? And by practical, I've had writers pitch me all kinds of impractical things. I remember an author that I talked to a while back, and I asked him what kind of marketing ideas he had. He said, you know, he said, I really have a cute granddaughter. I think we ought to do television commercials.
It was put her on there.
All I could do to keep from bursting out laughing at this guy, just like you just did, because, I mean, what full-time author do you see their book out doing? What commercials do you see at all about books, period, you know, because of the expense? Who's going to front that money, you know, the publisher? I don't think so, you know. I mean, just total fantasy ideas that people come up with.
Right. And also having a presence already. You know, someone who approaches me, and I shared with you our second book that just came out on the Information in a Nutshell, which is Business Tips and Taxes for Authors, or actually writers. So anyone who has a blog and is monetizing it, you know, people are making a lot of money on their blogs and then approaching CPA at the end of the year and saying, what do I do? And so we wanted to circumvent that as well, you know, with this book. And I approached an author who already had a presence, happens to be a CPA, and has some background in that, you know, helps a lot. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that publishers look for. They look for someone who has a presence, already has a blog. You know, before we even got the book out, you know, her website was up. She's hired a publicist. So there are a lot of things that we can do together with someone who, you know, first of all, has a presence out there. It's just easier to make a good showing when that book rolls out.
No, that's absolutely right. And if people don't have a presence, then they need to start building that and learning how to do that. It's not hard. They just need to actively work at it every day. kind of thing.
Well, is there one area of a nonfiction book proposal that must not fail if you had to pick one?
An area of the nonfiction book proposal must not fail is I would suggest that people have, back to this whole marketing area, they want to show the agent and the editor very practical ways that they're going to partner with the publisher to market the book. And so that's an area I would think is not going to fail. A lot of writers go, well, duh, why should I include a marketing plan to my book? Isn't that what the publisher does? Yes, the publisher is going to market your book, but they want or are actively looking for people that get it, that understand it's a true partnership cooperative venture here. So what kind of practical things are you going to do as the author to get out there and sell your book? And not just blogging and Twitter and different things, but what practical steps are you going to take? Do you have a mailing list? Do you have a physical mailing list that has 5 or 10,000 names on it, for example? I had an author when I was an agent. I sold his book because he had an email list that had 100,000 names on it. Well, publishers really get interested in that. They go, well, gee, this guy could sell some books. And so what steps can you be taking to build? You may not have 100,000 people on your list, but how can you be building towards something like that so that you could, 6 months or a year down the road, really be positioned for that kind of opportunity?
Right, absolutely. And our proposal on that account for the book I'm working on, had some holes in that area. And while this person did have an extensive connected group within Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, there was some real holes in that proposal for that area. So we actually put the book on hold while that was being built up in order to now be able to, we're almost ready to go with it and to be able to say now, this is the legwork we've done. And I think, to really set that stage, you have to be willing to put in some hours of work or have, some partnerships because that's another great advantage. I've been doing some partnerships, and I'm going to write myself a note because I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But I also want to, for those of you listening who are novelists, I want to touch on that. What does a novelist need to have in a book proposal?
Well, in a book proposal, a novelist, for one thing, it's going to be more about the story than anything else. So they have to have a really great story and a really good synopsis of their, like a summary of their story that's interesting. I've read a lot of synopsises that are boring. So you have to do something that's really dynamic and fun to read for a summary of your book. Really think about that. Also, a lot of novelists think, well, gee, I'm just a storyteller. I don't need a proposal. Well, no, you do need a proposal because if I'm a fiction acquisitions editor, which I was for 3 years, and you only have a few proposals that you can pitch every month, what are you going to do? If you have really great stories and only two of them have proposals with them, and those authors get it. They understand they've got to enter into the marketing. They've got a marketing plan, all that in their proposal. Which ones are you going to take? You're going to take the ones where the author went. So what you as a novelist need to do is show that you get it. You understand that the publisher has to sell books. And a lot of novelists don't understand this, but they really have become, through the process of writing their novel, they've become an expert in a nonfiction topic, whatever that is, whatever the basis of their novel is, if it's about abuse or about, some conflict in whatever they've written about. They've become an expert in that particular area, and it's that nonfiction topic that's going to be critical to go out to the media because that's what they'll be talking about to promote their book. So many people you want to get on these media shows or radio shows. People don't want to talk to you just because you've written an interesting novel. Where's the story in that? But if you're a true expert in some topic because you've written a novel, then that puts you in a different category.
Absolutely. Very, very good advice. We've got a listener here who asked the question, and she wants some marketing and publicity advice, how to do it best. And just a little bit of background, she has a book that is for the special needs market. She actually has a child who is special needs, and she wrote a book to that target, very niche market. Do you have any advice for her on marketing and publishing and how to do it best?
One of the things I would encourage her to do is to look at special organizations. Depending on the topic of her book, could an organization use her book as a fundraiser, as a special market sale? Those are sales that are going to be 5, 10, 15,000 copies. So you need to sort of learn how that works. Come up with a list. The author doesn't have to close the deals in their proposal, but that will distinguish your proposal if you even include those ideas, because like I tell writers all the time, I would say 80 to 90% of those ideas come from the writer. So think of those ideas and include them in your proposal, and that'll distinguish your proposal just because you even have that idea in the proposal from anybody else's pitch that's out there in this special needs kind of area. There's a lot of opportunity, I think, there for you.
Yeah, I spoke with a lady once who had a book on travel, and she was one of the keynotes for an RV association. So there's a lot of different types of organizations, like that within a niche market that would be, you know, a great resource. And, you know, being a fundraiser or even having a book, I know we had one of our novels used as part of the proceeds was, for donations for an organization. And we sold 1,000 copies, you know, Terry, and it didn't cost me that much to, you know, let this this really good company, you know, work within that. So, we are almost at the end of our show. What last words would you like to leave the listeners with?
I want to encourage your listeners that it's really possible for them to craft a really good proposal and sample chapter and to use that to attract the top literary agents and top publisher out there to give you an advance to be able to make your dreams come true. But you have to take action here. And one of the best ways that I would encourage your listeners to take action is to go over to my writeabookproposal.com course that's over there. It comes on autoresponders. It's 12 lessons. It's over 3 months, step by step. And that's at writeabookproposal.com. Another way that you can just learn about my teaching on proposals is there's a website, askaboutproposals.com, and that's a whole free hour that they can get me teaching about proposal writing, as well as an ebook, Book Proposal Basics, that they can get from me. There's no cost at all with that, and that's another way that they can learn more about this whole proposal area. But people listening just have to really take action and get themselves educated so that they can make the best possible pitch to the editor with their idea.
Wonderful, Terry. Well, once again, the time has just flown. It's been wonderful having you on as a guest today. And, you know, again, I highly recommend Terry to all of you who are listening. And do check out his website, because there's a lot of other links that we didn't cover, but you can get to from Terry Whalen, and that's TerryWhalin.com, and lots of great information there for anyone who is serious about writing. So thanks again, Terry, for joining me.
Boy, I feel I'm honored, and we'll just have to do it again sometime. This time just
Absolutely.
Flew past. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this weekly radio show for authors. And don't forget to visit the website at informationinanutshell.com and Felice's blog for authors at informationinanutshell.blogspot.com. Until next week, keep writing.